Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Media going insane. Trump driving people crazy. Goofball liberal judges down in Florida finding Florida's new legislated revamped stand your ground, unconstitutional. That's what dopey liberals do. They can't win in legislative bodies, so they find a stupid liberal judge to try to make something appear to be unconstitutional. Not a big deal. No injunction statewide in Florida. I'll go into that in just a little bit. More happy ending stories. 18-year-old shot trying to attack a 52-year-old woman when a 31-year-old armed neighbor came to her defense. A lot to learn from that story, too, by the way. I found that when I was reading the information about the Florida judge, the liberal Florida judge, trying to defy the will of the people that legislated the fix to stand your ground. It's incredible what they do. It's incredible what they do. It doesn't shock you as an Armed American Radio Daily Defense or Armed American Radio listener, I can promise you that. But before I go anywhere, I want to read an email that I got earlier today. And then, well, I'll just read the email. Then I'll go to the hotline. Mark, thank you for all the hard work you do to bring the radio show to us. Because of my busy schedule and place of work, I download the show from the archives and listen as a podcast. I am always entertained and find value in the interviews. I particularly enjoy the varied guests speaking out or speaking on the advancement of Second Amendment rights in the courtrooms and statehouses. While the program is praiseworthy, I am not writing today to praise, but rather to criticize. In this case, I want to address one guest in particular, Paul Markle. I know that he is well-regarded in the firearms community, and he is a repeat guest on the program. Since I've been listening, I have heard him as a guest on the program twice now, and to my distress, each time he comes on, I lose some respect for him. Please let me clarify. I am sure that he has earned his reputation for skill, and I do not doubt that he supports and fights for Second Amendment rights, but I am forced to take issue with one particular facet, when and where one should carry a concealed firearm for self-defense, and in specific in reference to quote-unquote gun-free zones. On June 28th, Mr. Markle strongly implied that people should carry their concealed firearms into their place of employment in violation of their employer's gun-free policy, and that those who do not were foolishly abrogating their duty to protect themselves, or they should just find another job. In addition, several months back, Mr. Markle said that people who are out shopping and disarm, leaving their concealed firearms in their car in order to comply with a gun-free posting, might as well not bother carrying. Frankly, this comes across as elitist and kind of preachy. Many places in the U.S., employers' policies and merchants' signs have the force of law. Here in Ohio, the gunbuster signs do carry the force of law, and as much as possible, I avoid them and shop elsewhere. But that is not always an option. Yet Mr. Markle suggests I should break the law for his ideal. Again, here in Ohio, employers' gun-free policies do carry the force of law. It is not just getting fired that could be a consequence, though thankfully we now have employee parking lot legislation. Further, there are any number of government-related locations which prohibit carry. The post office, even in the parking lot, is a prohibited location and carries legal consequences. I was recently called for jury duty and had to go through physical screening. Should I have tried to carry in the court anyway, according to Mr. Markle? Unlike most in Ohio, I work as a civilian contractor on a federal installation. Despite the fact that we know gun-free zone bases are no more effective than anywhere else at preventing criminals or madmen, it is nevertheless a prohibited area. According to Mr. Markle, I should carry there anyway and just take my chances? I'm not sure a federal sentence would agree with me or be in my family's best interest. I have decided that I will not break the law. I will be armed wherever and whenever it is legal for me to do so, but not otherwise. All that said, I am a reasonable person, and I was raised to give the benefit of the doubt. Please have Mr. Markle back on the program and ask him to clarify these finer points. Is he really suggesting that people who refuse to break the law and carry in prohibited places are irresponsible and shirking their duty to self-protection? Is he really saying that people like me should quit our jobs, uproot our families and our lives, and move to another state which he believes is more friendly to our Second Amendment rights? Should the residents of Illinois have just given up and left the state? I hope not. I hope he's not really saying that, and it is merely that he does not realize how what he is saying is coming across. I hope you will take this in the spirit which it is intended, a spirit of friendship, civil discourse, and discussion among friends with the same goals. Respectfully, Kirk. Kirk, I absolutely do, and I wrote you back earlier today, and I know you're listening to the show, more than likely on podcast because of the schedule that you mentioned. And I reached out to Paul Markle, who I bring on the hotline right now here in the Armed American Radio Daily Studio. And I want to tell you also, Kirk, that I did not read this email to him previous. He heard it as I read it here on the airwaves. Paul, welcome to the program. How you doing, brother?
Hoo-ah! I'm here, Freak.
All right, man. What do you think about that email?
I think that that's somebody who listens to your show but never listens to mine. And, well, if you would listen louder, you should listen louder. That's what you should do. Step number one, listen louder. Step number two, I don't know what to say because I like you, Mark, I go on the air Monday through Thursday every day, 1 hour every day, and then I do a bonus Friday episode for the GRAC program.
Right.
But I explain the reasoning behind my thoughts and my principles and so forth. I do that on a daily basis. I don't hide my thoughts and feelings. I don't hide why I think a certain way. And I don't just think a certain way because it's what's popular or because it's what I think people want to hear. As a matter of fact, I've built my show, and I'm sure you know, as the pimp hand of America, because I'm not here to say what you want to hear. I'm here to say what needs to be said. Now, sometimes what needs to be said makes you feel uncomfortable. Sometimes what needs to be said hurts your little feelings. And that's too bad. I played football. I was a United States Marine. And I've done other things in my life. But let me ask you this, like, you know, the football metaphor or the football analogy. When you went out on the field, did your coaches gather you all around and say, all right, guys, what does everybody want to do today? You guys want to run drills? You want to do, are you tired? If you're tired, go back. No, your coach knows what's best for you. And you need to be quiet and listen to your coach. When I was in the Marine Corps, you know, you go to Paris Island, which I did, because that's where real Marines go. They go to Paris Island. And I don't remember our drill instructors gathering us around and saying, hey, you know, you all come from different backgrounds and you're all reasonably intelligent people. What do you think we should do today? How do you think we should address the situation? Well, that's my background. That's where I come from. And when it comes to, look, people ask me all the time. They say, oh, you know, and our fans, and they say, well, I have a boss or I have a workplace that has a policy. You know, and the policy says, yada, yada. So what should I do? And I say, well, you have to do whatever you think your conscience can handle. And unfortunately, well, whether it's unfortunate or fortunate, people will ask me things like that. They'll ask you or they'll ask anybody else who's on the radio.
I get the question all the time like you do. I get the email all the time.
What should I do? Well, I'm not going to give you permission. You know, I can't give you permission to violate your company policy. I can't give you permission to you know, whatever it is, to carry the gun into the post office or what have you. What I do is I'm providing you with something to think about. I'm giving you information. I'm forcing you to think about the situation. Now, here's the reality. I'm not going to be cliche, but when people talk about, well, if you're going to say, and I'll lose my job, and what am my family supposed to do if I lose my job? I don't know. What is your family going to do when you're dead? How do you provide for your family being dead? And you say, oh, that's a little extreme. I don't think I'm going to be dead. Then why do you carry a gun? If you carry a gun part-time, and I'm going to go ahead and reiterate this, if you carry a gun part-time, you're kidding yourself. Yes, I know you can't go to jury duty with a gun on. I'm not an idiot. I know that you can't get on an airplane with a gun on. But what I'm telling you is that far too many people that are infected with the reasonableness disease, and that's how I know that this guy has never listened or doesn't listen to the show, because I've addressed the reasonableness disease for years in the written word, in articles, on the radio show, all the time. Reasonable Americans constantly go about disarming themselves because they make that excuse. They're like, well, I don't go to places where I think I would need a gun. I only, you know, I live in a good neighborhood. I don't go out late at night. I don't hang out at bars. I don't do this. And so what do? They preload all kinds of excuses not to do what they, well, what they think they should really do. And if you're going about your day constantly disarming yourself, well, I leave my house and take my gun off, and then I put it back on. I take it off, and I put it back on. I take it off. Just stop doing it, because eventually your gun's not going to be on you, or it's going to end up in the hands of somebody it shouldn't be in.
Hey, Paul, I want you to stop.
Leave it home.
No, this is a great place to stop. When we come back, I want to go to one of my favorite pieces ever written. First, let me address what you said. Then I want to go to one of my favorite pieces ever written by a wonderful friend of mine and a mentor early in my career in this field, and that was Robert Boatman and the infamous Chapter 20 from Living with Glocks. We'll be right back. Provocative stuff. Don't turn this away.
I'm sure you know by now that I'm a proud supporter of the United States Concealed Carry Association, the first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. And in honor of the upcoming 4th of July holiday, the USCCA is celebrating our forefathers and our Second Amendment freedom with a great American giveaway. Five lucky winners will receive $1,776 to buy the gun and ammo of their choice. You'll finally be able to get that gun you've been dreaming about and still have money left over to buy all the ammo you need to break it in. And instead of just drawing one winner, they're drawing five. Just visit defendthem.com to enter. Your entry to win $1,776 for guns and ammo is quick, simple, and free. Just go to defendthem.com right now. And if you're carrying a gun without protection, make sure you check out what they have to offer. There's truly nothing else out there like it. That's defendthem.com to get your five chances to win.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
Hi, it's Mark, and if you've been listening to me on the radio for the last decade, you know I care about what you think. As a result, the staff at Armed American Radio has compiled a comprehensive list of questions designed to help me and all of us serve you better. If you invest just 15 minutes of your time, not only will your help guide content of future radio shows and ensure that we're covering the topics you want to hear about, but you will instantly receive a valuable discount offer from Brownells. All information will be kept strictly confidential and will only be used to better serve USCCA members and Armed American Radio listeners. Please complete this entire survey, and remember, the survey closes July 31st at 11:59 p.m. and the special offer from Brownells expires September 3rd at 11:59 p.m. The 15 minutes you invest right now will save you a ton of money. So please go over to the website armedamericanradio.com, click on the survey button on the homepage, and you'll be connected to the survey. Again, that's armedamericanradio.com, and you have until July 31st to complete the survey. We care about what you think here on Armed American Radio. Thank you for your help.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, what I'm about to quote for you and paraphrase for you is very powerful stuff, and the faint of heart might find it very difficult to hear. And I'm not accusing any of you of being faint of heart. I know certainly Paul is not faint of heart. Because Paul, let me just bring you back quickly before I go into this portion of the segment and then get some more commentary from you. But I know who you are, and I know what you're about, and I know what it is, and the thought that you, the ideas that you present to listeners, you make people think. And you do it when you're on this program as well. And sometimes that's taken, sometimes out of context, sometimes it's taken wrong. Sometimes people don't like to hear it because sometimes the truth is difficult to hear, isn't it, right?
Absolutely.
The truth, though, is really only controversial to people who don't believe in it, or who people, or people who lie. Sometimes the truth is very controversial. Let me address Kirk very quickly in this, because it's a question I get all the time, as you mentioned before. I'm not telling someone to break the law. I've talked about this subject many, many, many times, ad nauseum, to use the phrase, over the years. I could put together outtakes of my shows and create weeks' worth of shows having this discussion. In fact, I talk about it a lot in the trucking business. I've never met a truck driver. I spent 26 years in management in the trucking industry and transportation field and owning my own business for 13 of those years. I've never met a truck driver who didn't have a gun in his cab. And every single one of those cases, it was in violation of their company policy. But it was almost as if the company winked and nodded. And I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that truck drivers have a right to defend themselves wherever they go, and some of the places they go are not nice. Now, I'm sure there are drivers who don't carry guns in their cabs. I've never met one. And I had another truck driver on the program, Paul Lathrop, who merely threatened someone during a rage incident when his cab was being threatened by someone that he had a gun and found himself charged with two felonies. He was able to beat it when the felonies were dropped. So the point we're trying to make here is, I understand in Ohio, it's a violation of the law. It's a violation of the law in Tennessee. Here in Georgia, it's not. I walk past those signs all the time if I have to. If I don't have to, I go around them to somewhere else. But I'm not violating the law. And what I'm telling you is you have a decision to make. That's what Paul is telling you. He's giving you the things to think about, not telling you what to do, and making you think about it. As he said in the previous segment, what good are you to your family dead? Now, having said that, a man who we lost way too early, an individual by the name of Robert Boatman. Robert Boatman wrote the books Living with Glocks, Living with the Big 50, Living with the 1911, Living with the AR-15, and sadly passed away in 2009, and I miss him. He was a mentor of mine and someone I could talk to. I exchanged emails with Bob on a regular basis early on when I began writing for Concealed Carry magazine after a couple of years. And I was thrilled to find out that he enjoyed reading my pieces. It meant a lot to me because the man was brilliant. The infamous chapter 20 from Living with Glocks, Paul, I'm sure you're familiar with it. The constitutional right and social obligation to carry a gun. And I'll start with this. There's an old wisecrack. True as witticisms, proverbs, and aphorisms usually are. It goes like this. Funny the things you see when you don't have a gun. And he goes on to talk about Susanna Hupp, a very good and personal friend of mine, who was having a pleasant lunch with her parents in Luby's Cafeteria in Killeen, Texas, when a madman, George Hennard, came crashing his truck through the wall. A man armed with two guns and plenty of spare magazines emerged from the truck and started shooting everyone inside, including Susanna's mother and father. Al Gracio was shot fatally in the chest. Her mother, Ursula, was shot point-blank in the head. More than 20 other people in the cafeteria were murdered in cold blood before the killer turned one of his guns on himself and blew his own brains out. Susanna hid under a table, clutching her purse, which normally contained a .38 revolver. In deference to Texas law at the time, which prohibited carrying concealed weapons on one's person, she had left her gun in her car. Several more dead diners had guns legally and inaccessibly locked in their cars. Susanna Hupp has vowed never to make that mistake again, though such pronouncements always come far too late. Here's what she said, and I quote, "The decision to follow the Texas law cost me the lives of my parents. There is not a day that goes by when I do not think about that." Now, Paul, I'll stop there, and then if it's okay, I can keep you for another segment, I hope, because it is it's a powerful conversation. I have had many conversations with her. I have shared a speaking stage with her. I have shared a table selling books with her. I have talked to her on national television program about this, on the Stossel show titled More Guns, Less Crime. And Susanna Hupp looks dead in the camera and says if she had it to do over again, she would have committed a felony and her parents would be alive to this day. She would never, ever allow it to happen again. Now, Susanna Hupp went on to become a Texas legislator and become an instrumental part of changing Texas law. Paul, you know about that story down there. How do you react to that?
Well, I mean, we should know it, and everyone should know it. But here's something that, well, you mentioned books, and you know, I've written several books, and I talk about that. I've got a DVD called what's the DVD called?
one of my DVDs. Tell everybody where to go and get it. They can find it.
All right, well, you can go to studentofthegun.com. But anyway,
there you go.
My point is this: is we've addressed this before, and what really kind of maddens and infuriates me is that people act like this is the first time they've ever heard it. Now, one of the big things that you need to understand is you need to ask yourself, am I a citizen of the United States of America? Am I a genuine citizen, or am I a peasant? Am I a member of the serf class? Am I a slave? Oh, it's bull crap. I'm not a slave. I'm not a derby. Okay, well, if you want to be a citizen, something you need to understand is the concept of malum in se and the concept of malum prohibitum.
Right.
And if you're going to live your life, whether it's as a Christian or as a citizen, I mean, let's face it, malum in se is based upon the tenets of Judeo-Christian law. And for those of you that don't know, I don't really have the time to explain it all to you, but there is a moral wrong, and then there's something that's wrong just because someone told you it was wrong. For instance, murder is wrong. I shouldn't have to sit down and explain to you why it's wrong to commit murder, right? Or rape or theft or what have you. But in malum prohibitum, it's only wrong because a bunch of people sat in a building somewhere and said, you know what? We don't think that the people should be allowed to do this. Let's all vote. All in favor? Aye. The people aren't allowed to do that anymore. Well, why? Because we said so. And that's where you come into. You're like, what is the moral wrong? And, of course, Masoud Ayoub is very famous for the doctrine of competing harms and for discussing the doctrine of competing harms. What is worse, the loss of human life or violating a statutory policy? I don't know. You ask me. Well, the doctrine of competing harms essentially says that the courts recognize that the loss of human life is a far worse thing than the violation of a statutory wrong. Now, of course, when you're talking about the doctrine of competing harms, you have to prove that. You have to use that as your affirmative defense and say, well, if I would have followed your law, you know, in the situation where, let's say, you are wherever you are and you have a gun on you, and by statute, you weren't supposed to. But here comes Johnny Jihad or Johnny Thug or whatever, and they decide that they're going to start killing people, raping people, murdering people, whatever. And you whip out your gun and you stop them, make them stop.
Well, then they stop right there. Violence. Hold that thought. Stop right there. I want to stop you right there. Perfect place to put the brakes on when we come back, because what you've just heard from Paul is you're somewhere maybe you shouldn't have had your gun on. And you're in a position to stop something, and you do. I know where he's going to go with this when we come back, and I'm going to open up the program again, the next segment, with a quote from the end of chapter 20 that I think you'll find fascinating.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Hey, if you want any proof positive that Donald Trump is working wonders around the world and making America great again, the Angela Merkel campaign is no longer referring to the U.S. as a friend, okay? And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. So make America great again. It is a wonderful thing. I'm talking with Paul Markle, student of the gun, studentofthegun.com. And I'll go back to Paul in just a second. First, I want to send you over to two places. Well, really one place, USCCAonAir.com. Here's why. The Gun A Day giveaway is over. But I have a survey put up from the fine folks I work with up on that site, and I want your opinion. I want your opinion, and there's a survey up there. It'll take you about 15 minutes to complete. It's a lot of fun because it's talking to you about guns, what you buy, what you wear, what you carry, what you like about the program, what you'd like me to do, maybe more things with the program. Talk to me a little bit, because I'm going to see every single one of them, and I want and value your opinion. Don't believe me? Go back and listen to this program. I brought Paul Markle on today to answer a listener's email because it was that good, and I care what that listener has to say, and I want him to hear Paul's response. That's the way we do things here. I read every single one of your emails, and I apologize for not having a chance to get back to all of them, but I read every one of them. So I want you to do me a favor. I'm asking for your assistance. Please head over to USCCAonAir.com. It's right there on the front of the screen. You can't miss it. Boom, take the survey. And guess what? Brownells is going to knock about $10 off a $99 purchase for you. It's good through September, so you can shop online at Brownells at any time. We appreciate them helping us out. And believe me, I appreciate you so much for taking about 15 minutes. you know, find some time to talk to me about what you like. Guns, what you like about the show, maybe what you don't like about the show. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you hate. Tell me everything, because we're going to use it for future programs. I mean it when I tell you I care about what you think.
You freak.
Let me go back. Yeah, right? Let me go back to Paul 2, Living with Glocks. Let me read you two small paragraphs or a couple sentences. Carrying a loaded gun. These are very profound words from Bob Boatman. Very controversial at the time they were written. They had a huge impact on my life, and I know many others' lives as well. Tim Schmidt, the founder of the USCCA, will tell you that it was inspirational for him to even start the company, was this chapter. Carrying a loaded gun with the ability and will to use it is not a casual fling meant to bring some excitement into your boring life. It is an all-embracing lifestyle and must take precedence over your respect for law, your fear of social criticism, your love of humanity, your wardrobe, and your drinking habits. You can never be unaware of the weight you carry on your hip or under your arm. You can never forget your responsibilities. You must wear your Glock with the same allegiance as your wedding ring. If you're not married, your Glock is your wedding ring. Wear it for life. Don't even think about leaving home without it. Be prepared to use it at a moment's notice. Carry it all the time and shoot to kill. Very profound words from the late Bob Boatman that had an impact on my life. And Paul, go ahead, please.
Sounds to me like Robert Boatman was unreasonable. Sounds to me like he wasn't part of the reasonable people. He didn't understand what it meant, what it takes. He didn't understand the struggle of the common man. And of course, I'm being facetious.
Right.
The common man, and he's absolutely positively right, and you know, it's something that you and I would reinforce over and over again. There are some people that shouldn't carry guns. And they're like, what do you mean? No, there are some people that are, you know, if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. It's not a game. It's not a hobby. We don't do it to impress our friends at the gun shop or whatever. We do this, and it should be something that you undertake with a tremendous amount of seriousness. But it is a lifestyle, and yeah, you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make uncomfortable decisions. Here's the deal. The people that go about their daily lives every single day, the comfortable slaves and socialists, they don't arm themselves. They don't prepare themselves. They don't have training. You know why? Because it's not their responsibility. They have a phone, and if anything bad goes on in around their life, they just make a phone call, and someone else will come and fix their problem for them. And that's comfortable. That is comfortable slavery. But some people have made the uncomfortable decision that, you know what, I realize this is an imperfect world. I realize as much as I love my local police department and sheriff's department, they're not my personal bodyguard. They can't be with me all times. They can't, you know, walk me from my front door to my car and back again. It's my responsibility as a citizen. And here's the thing. We used to understand this as a culture. As a culture, that's a psychotic insanity of our modern world, is we used to understand as a human culture that it was every man's responsibility, his duty, to protect himself and his family. And I would no longer need to explain that to you than to tell you why you should drink water and eat food. But today, everyone has mobile phones and the 911 mentality, and we become so damned comfortable that we make excuses to ourselves to not do what we know is right. And then when someone comes along like me and slaps them with some ugly reality, it makes them even more uncomfortable. Like, well, what are you trying to tell me? I should break the law. I should be like, no, I'm telling you, as a human, as a citizen, you have a responsibility. You can either accept the responsibility or you can abdicate it. It's your choice to make.
Well, you know, let me break this down. Let me give you an analogy here, which you were talking about in the earlier segment. You were talking about certain laws, for example. You have a God-given right to defend your life. No man can legislate that right away from you. No man can say to you, you can't defend your life in these circumstances or while you're here, only while you're here. Now, there are politicians who like to do that. That's why you have stand your ground laws that infringe on those zealots who like to take away your right to self-defense in certain areas because they don't like what you use to defend your life. Well, I'm going to give you a real-life example here. Paul, I believe Mayor Daley in Chicago. Remember this clown? I believe Mayor Daley, who between he and his father ruled over the city of Chicago for decades, I believe the reason that he decided not to run again was because of a single case. He was losing the gun control debate. He knew he was going to lose the gun control debate. And there was a single case that happened. A Korean man, war veteran, U.S. war veteran, in the city of Chicago, kept a firearm in Chicago in violation of Chicago's anti-gun ordinances and used that firearm to shoot and kill an armed attacker coming up his steps one night at about 1:30 in the morning. Do you think anyone in Chicago was going to prosecute that man for defending his life, that U.S. veteran, that Korean War veteran, it was a Korean War veteran, from defending himself against a man coming up the steps? Absolutely not. They weren't stupid enough to do it because the public outcry was huge at the mere mention of prosecuting that American hero for defending his life, even though he violated a man-made law. It was an immoral law, and we all knew it. Those laws would later be overturned. Just because some Democrat liberal said it's law doesn't make it right. And I'm going to go right over to California, because I could go on and on about this. California's magazine ban that was supposed to go in effect on Saturday. Because a dopey liberal legislature tells you that property that was lawful for you to buy for the last 100 years is no longer lawful, doesn't make it right. How many people in California are going to comply with that law? I'm going to tell you right now, virtually none. I don't know one gun owner that's going to turn their magazines in. Period. This is the decision-making process that we're talking about here. No one is telling you to violate the law. I would never tell you to violate the law. I'm going to tell you that's what makes you a responsibly armed American. What we're telling you is you have certain decisions to make. Maybe you don't go to certain places. No one can carry a gun on an airplane. You're not, well, you know, some certain people can. Paul, we're getting ready to take another break. Do you want to take the last 20 seconds? You see where I'm going. I'll turn it over to you before we go to the break.
No, the thing about the affirmative defense is, yeah, you have to. The affirmative defense is something you make in front of a judge, but you also have to make it in your own heart and your own mind before any of that happens.
That Korean War vet had a decision to make: carry a gun inside my own home and have it here in violation of Mayor Daley's, King Daley's ordinance, or have this gun here and be able to use it in defense of my life, which he was able to do. And of course, he was never prosecuted. The backlash against the sin. I believe that it was that combined with some upcoming cases that caused Mayor Daley to back out on a high note when he still had power and didn't look like the fool he was. We'll be back right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Wow, the fastest hour in radio. Just proving me right. It is the fastest hour in radio. I want to apologize for not having two or three for you during the day. Will that change? You never know. Welcome back to the program, usccaonair.com. Please go take the survey. I need your help, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and I know you'll pull through for me. I know you will. Also, I've got to welcome a new affiliate here at daytime, KYAH, 540 AM in Delta, Utah. Love you guys. In Delta, Utah, you are now having your prescription for freedom filled 6 days a week in Delta, Utah, and surrounding area, reaching up into other cities in the area, up into Salt Lake and parts of Provo and everywhere else. Great to have you with Armed American Radio's Daily Defense now, not just the monster weekend show. All right, Paul, I want to kind of close down here with this by kind of answering another question. I know somebody out there saying, well, if you're not telling somebody to break the law, what are you telling them? Here's what I'm telling you to do. You've got decisions that you have to make, and some of those decisions are going to require you maybe to have a conversation with your anti-gun employer, and the individual letter writer works on a federal facility. He's not going to be able to carry a gun unless he gets arrested. I understand that. So what do you do in a situation? I'll tell you what you do. You go talk to your congressman or congresswoman, and you say, look, this is where I work. This is a hassle for me. I have to disarm because of this. You make your voice heard. You work to change these laws. If you walk into a restaurant and you see a no-gun sign and you have to avoid it, now in this state here, I don't have to. Fortunately, I don't see a lot of those signs. And if I do see it and I'm hell-bent on eating there because I want to and that's why I got there, I'm going to walk right past that sign. Why? Because, number one, my gun is concealed effectively. No one's ever said to me in 30 years of carrying a gun, hey, looks like you have a gun on under your shirt. Learn how to conceal your weapon properly, even if that means adding another weapon to your arsenal, okay? Or to change your attire, as Bob Boatman said. It takes precedence over everything, including your outfits, okay, your attire and your drinking habits and everything else. But if you see that sign, and because state law requires you to do that, and you're following state law by your choice to do so as a law-abiding citizen, make sure the management knows why you're not eating there. And that's why they don't have your money. If your mother-in-law doesn't like guns and you're going to her home and you don't like being in what we call an NPE, a non-permissive environment, let her know that. But it's not a violation of the law for you to carry a gun in your pocket. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Sometimes you can't help it. You're on a gun-free zone in an airplane. You're in a gun-free zone, the letter writer is, on that federal facility as a contractor. I get that. We get that. Paul gets that. We're just presenting the things for you to think about. But I will tell you this, Paul. Bob Boatman did tell you that. Ted Nugent, in a Facebook Live post the other day, told you, carry your gun. No human being has a moral authority to tell you you can or can't carry it anywhere you happen to be. Carry your damn gun. Put it in your pocket, period. Other people have said those things. Go ahead and take that one away.
You know, and that's the thing. We beat this horse constantly. And the fact of the matter is, you know, and I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to go back on it. If you don't feel comfortable carrying your gun, then don't carry a gun. If you're in a position where you're constantly finding yourself arming and disarming yourself, you're joking, you're kidding, you're fooling yourself. It's no different than having car insurance that covers you Monday, Wednesday, sometimes on Saturday, every other Sunday, and maybe on a Thursday once a month. You say, well, that'd be stupid because I have no idea when I'm ever going to need car insurance. I don't know when someone's going to slam into me. Yeah, no kidding. You would never buy an insurance policy that covered you 38% of the time when you were driving, would you? No. Would you? Do you put a fire extinguisher in your kitchen just sometimes? You know, most of the time I lock it in the garage in a cabinet, but every once in a while I get the fire extinguisher out and I put it in the kitchen, just in case. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. What is a gun? It's an instrument of liberty. It's a life-saving tool. And if you're playing this game, you know what? Do what you want. I don't care. It's your life. Do what you want with it. If you want to roll the dice and carry once in a while, if you want to order your life, it's like people who live in California or D.C. or New York City, where they have to beg for permission to be an armed citizen. They have to beg for permission to own a gun from the king. But if that's how you want to live your life, make that decision for yourself. But don't try and put it on everyone else. If you're uncomfortable because of the situation you're in, either accept it or change it.
Work to change it. And you can work to change it. You can do those things. All right, there's two more small paragraphs I want to read from this, because you just touched it. It was brilliant. You didn't even know it. Number one, if you ever find yourself under an attack by an armed criminal, you will be on the defensive and he will be on the offensive. In other words, he will have a strong advantage going in. And though he will not have trained himself to shoot nearly as well as you have trained, he will be far more experienced in the art of killing. The odds are any criminal who is intent on killing you has probably killed men before, knows how to do it, knows how it feels, and likes it. You're not going to talk him out of it, scare him out of it, or wound him out of it. You're going to have to kill him. Very harsh words from Bob Boatman. This chapter 20 is a brilliant read, and anyone who carries a firearm, we've talked about it on the show over the years, needs to read this. Chapter 20, Living with Glocks. Google that, find it, and read it. Every word of it. Here's the final paragraph. Liberty or death. This is what Paul just said. Carrying a gun is liberty. Liberty or death, the meaning of which is clear and absolute, is but a trivial phrase if you do not carry a gun. For freedom-loving Americans, the five most important words in the English language are, and always have been, from my cold, dead hands. Paul, I think I love the conversation, and I appreciate you coming on today and addressing it. And Kirk, I hope you understand the spirit with which we were talking about this with you today, and I love the fact that you're engaged and brought it up, because it's a question I get on a fairly regular basis. No one's attacking you because you can't carry a gun somewhere because law precludes you from doing that. I hope you understand that. What we're saying is work to change that. Make the decisions necessary to change those things. That's how we get things done. It really is how we get things done. Paul, where can people find all your stuff, man, including the DVD you can't remember the name of?
It's Armed Living.
Armed Living, okay, there it is. Well, hey, you know,
DVD.
I could have probably guessed that if given five chances, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's studentofthegun.com, and we didn't talk about the book today, but the book is out, and if you guys want something that's not quite as hardcore serious, Cigar Etiquette for Barbarians. Speaking of which, how'd your cigar thing go?
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful. Had an opportunity to meet some fine folks to come out. It wasn't a radio promotion. It was a local local cigar shop promotion. Had a really good time and met a lot of great people. And, it, you know, the cigar while armed. You know, here we were openly carrying. And guys like Kirk, I know, boy, you know, we can carry in places like that here in Georgia. And these are cigar-friendly and gun-friendly environments. And it just makes for a lot of camaraderie. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you asking. You know, in the grilling while armed, too. It's the same type of thing. You know, with your cigar etiquette, we do the grilling while armed. Now, let me just tell you this to close out the hour. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. It's Independence Day. I had wanted to go through some of the Constitution with you today, or some of the Declaration of Independence, excuse me, but I thought this email was a little bit more important. It was very provocative and very intense, and I knew Paul would give us exactly what we were looking for, and that's provocative, intense, and some of you would call controversial answers, and I love it. That's what the program is all about. I hope you enjoyed it and took something away from it. But I didn't get to, nevertheless, I didn't get to the Declaration of Independence. Tomorrow being the 4th, I will be off. What I will be running tomorrow will be the Grilling While Armed segment, Hour 3, from last night's Monster broadcast will be running tomorrow because lots of you will be barbecuing, and I had the great Bill Cannon, the master barbecuer, championship cooker, and the founder of TexasBarbecueRub.com. And, boy, I just got my box today, 16 pounds of that new rub. I can't wait. I've got a huge cooker going up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll be cooking for at least 15 hours. I hope you're going to be doing the same. Happy Independence Day, 241 years of freedom. Make America Great Again is the motto that Donald Trump runs on, and he's driving all the left and the gun grabbers crazy. Enjoy it. Make America Great Again yourself and fire up your cooker. Take some time off if you can and enjoy your day. Paul Markle, thank you, brother, for everything you do, and thanks for coming on and taking on this topic. And it can be a tough one sometimes. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Go to studentofthegun.com for everything.
Studentofthegun.com. Armed living. Love it. Paul Markle, thank you. Happy Independence Day. We'll see you on the radio. In the meantime, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone, Kirk. We'll be back. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out IRFnews.com. That's IRFnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.